Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. The show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show. Today's guest is David Biden, Delivery Director at Not Binary. You know, I know you've got a lot going on. I'm quite familiar with, obviously, your previous place, but so I know that yep. Where you're at now is, quite a new project for you. So I suppose just how are things going? How are you finding the new venture?
Yeah, very well. Interesting time for us. So. My original background is financial services. So I was kind of working there for a very long time, then moved on to Methods Digital after that. So got a good remit into public sector, which is their speciality there. And then Not Binary is really born out of a need to serve both sectors and not really be pigeonholed just into one. It's going very well so far. We've got three clients at the moment spanning education, public sector, and the private sector. So a really nice mix of people. Reason that we've kind of gone quite broad like that is that essentially digital transformation is affecting everybody, no matter what your sector, what your speciality, what it is that you're doing in the world at the moment. By working cross-sector, you can pull a lot more ideas into the projects that you're doing.
Yeah, interesting. It is quite, an interesting approach because, the best practice, school of best practice, if you like, everyone would say, right, be the king of one thing, I suppose. And obviously looking at a variety of different industries is an interesting approach. But I think, as you say, because of digital transformation, it's probably more compelling and exciting to do it in cross-industry. So I suppose, it's not the first initial thing you would think of when you think about, right, well, how are we going to focus our efforts, but based on as you say, digital transformation, it sort of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what we focus on is that digital transformation. I'll run through a bit more about what I mean by that in a moment, and it really is affecting anyone. So lots of people, as you say, would be in an industry. They would hire a consultancy that specializes in that industry. That's not really so much the case anymore. So I was recently speaking to an investment bank for a very long time, who were essentially saying that they know what their competitors next door and things are doing. They know what they'll get if they hire a traditional banking consultancy in. What with the onslaught of digital now and technologies available that will allow people to break into markets and disrupt markets so easily, they're looking outside of the norm, really, to looking for people that know what's going on in with the girls and guys in their garages and things like that. Monzo being a great example of that.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually quite familiar with Monzo. Yeah, it is an interesting time, and as you said, it will be interesting to, I suppose, get your take on when we say digital transformation, because I suppose just for a lot of people, it probably can mean a lot of different things, depending on what specifically you're focused on within technology. So, what is it specifically you guys are kind of taking on?
Yeah, so I'll take you through it. So, let's break it down. So, firstly, the first question is what is digital? And that really means many things to many people at the moment. Some it's just a move to cloud-based technologies. Some it's a new way of reaching their customers. And for others, it's just an entirely different way of doing business. So the first thing you've got to do when you're taking on any sort of digital transformation is get that alignment across your leadership team on exactly what your definition of digital is for your organization. Personally, for me, it's usually the third, which is essentially an entirely new way of doing business. That's the closest to the truest meaning digital for me. But again, that's what you need to do first, is just get that alignment. Because digital does truly run end-to-end across your business. Good modern technology is often a catalyst to becoming a digital organization, but it's fundamentally about changing the way in which you provide your products and services to your customers. Running through some examples of that, you've got what I think sometimes referred to as the NAGs, which are like the great success stories of the digital world, which is kind of like your Netflix, Amazon, and Google. But they're kind of their next level digital transformation. They are the world's best in what they do. They're so good at digital, they can disrupt any market, essentially. They should always be watched, but it's highly unlikely for most organizations that you're ever going to be able to imitate these guys. They're kind of truly digitally native organizations that were born in the cloud, whereas most organizations aren't. And as we said, like Monzo is another great example of a digital disruptor that's just born in the cloud and is solidly shaking up that financial services market. So when we kind of talk around digital transformation, I think for most organizations that I've ever come across, it's the second question to ask is essentially, who am I? And that will break down into one of two types of organizations. There's the digitally native new corporation that's out to disrupt or create a new market, in which case your entire business model should essentially already be digital. And you probably won't need some help from someone like me, because you'll probably be a startup, so you'll need VCs and startup advisors and things like that. Whereas if you're an established business that needs to become digital, then that's where someone like myself and the guys at Not Binary come in. So we advise on delivering digital change to organizations. So it starts with a strategy, which I'll break down again in a moment, and then onto the actual delivery of that strategy. So we often work with some of the most kind of traditional and entrenched organizations, work across government and the private sector, as I said, but we really take those historic traditional organizations and make them into digital organizations rather than help startups, as it were.
Yeah, it's really interesting, I think. I would actually enjoy that kind of line of work as much as anyone, I think, because you look at some organizations and, as you say, they're kind of fundamentally a part of, you know, our everyday lives, in that, you know, you have education, public sector work, you know, finance. This is something that, you know, as people, we still have to interact with on a day-to-day basis. And I think at times you do look at some sectors and think, Jesus, you know, it's bulky, it's clunky, it's a dinosaur. So, but the services there we are necessary for us. So if we can go in, you know, and digitally kind of transform and disrupt the kind of some of the old habits into, like you say, a modern way of working that's going to be a lot more efficient for both them, I'm sure that they'll seek the benefits, but I suppose almost more importantly, the actual customers who are, enjoying their services. This is, I think, a really compelling space to be in.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Everybody's kind of facing this digital challenge at the moment, trying to work out where they stand in the market, trying to work out what they should do next, trying to work out who's disrupting them, looking over your shoulder to see if Amazon is coming and investing in your sector. For instance, Tesco's probably had no idea that Amazon would be buying Whole Foods and that they'd be then into that retail delivery space. And they're just going to be leaps and bounds ahead from day one as soon as they get that up and running. So yeah, so it's those established companies that already got a business that we would work with. And the two challenges are very different between whether you're a startup disruptor or they're an established business that's trying to become digital. And because existing organizations come from a completely different place, essentially. So there's kind of like seven or eight key things that you need to look at in a digital transformation if you're an established company. First one being, well, one of the first hallmarks is, if you are one of those companies, is if you've done what you've done for a very long time. That might sound quite obvious, but that's essentially what an existing and legacy business is, that you will probably be running off some legacy technology, probably will have a hybrid environment or even a no-cloud on-premise environment. A big piece of this, of digital transformation, is not just technology, but obviously the staff that you have and that you'll have in the future. So you may have entrenched staff that aren't really advocates of change at the moment. You may have staff with skill sets and mindsets that are not ready for digital ways of working. And if you're established, you are going to, as I said, you are going to be facing those threats and disruption from places and organisations that you've just never seen or heard about before. And non-digitally native businesses generally tend to have a lot higher overheads because you're running on-premise systems. You're going to have physical offices, possibly in expensive locations. You've got pension pots that have been going on for many years. There's lots and lots of stuff to think about. And you might not also understand what's available in the technological landscape at the moment, whereas someone like a Monzo would do. That's what they base their business from. So any organization can become digital. It's just you need to tackle all of those points rather than just one or two of them, because essentially what will happen if you do just move to the cloud technologies or you do just run training programs for staff and then leave them with poor tools, you won't become a truly digital business. You'll just spend a lot of money on changing probably one area of your business.
Do you find that a lot of your clients and such, they, you know, the reason why, excuse me, the reason why they reach out or you end up having a relationship with them stems out of, you know, fear or just kind of, I suppose, loosely understanding that, okay, we need to go digital. This seems to be what everyone else is doing. Or do you tend to find that it's sort of a more calculated, you know, what are some of the real rationales why these kind of legacy businesses are, you know, kind of looking to someone like you to help transform? Because I can imagine there being a lot of misinformation on their part and there kind of being a lot of education that you guys have to kind of go through to kind of align with, you know, the reality of what they potentially would need.
Yeah, very much so. And again, that kind of splits into two camps, really. You've got your monopolies and probably mostly government organisations who won't really go bust. They don't have that driver of going out of business to be digital and to keep up with what the rest of the market is doing. So they do it out of will to progress, but that's very different to drive. So do it because they should do. So Southeastern Trains, it's still a pain in the bum for me to get my train ticket every month. It's still paper-based. They have just released an online version, but it's not very good. But that's the only train that I can get every morning. So they don't really have that driver of being disrupted, as it were, from another train company. They might get disrupted by something else, like car sharing or even Airbnb with people being able to stay over and things like that. But then again, you get private sector businesses who will essentially go out of business if they don't become digital organisations. You've got the classic Netflix Blockbuster argument. Blockbuster had everything there to be able to become digital. They didn't. They didn't see the future. Netflix swooped in and took it from them. So they're the two main drivers, really. You need to keep up and not go. And then the other half don't need to do it out of necessity.
Yeah, interesting. And does it sometimes? I suppose you can't really say this too much, but is it ever kind of frustrating? Because I suppose you as an individual are clearly very driven, you know, very passionate about kind of what you're working towards. And like you say, when you do end up kind of working with people who, you know, aren't that way, they're kind of just doing it because it's the thing to do. You know, that's, I wonder whether that's kind of a demotivator in any sort of way, or is it almost, I suppose you can look at it the other way and think, well, actually, that's quite a motivating factor, because what I'd love to get out of this is for them to actually kind of realize the true benefits of this and kind of change their way of thinking. Is there, you know, is there that element to it as well from, I suppose, just from a, you know, a personal perspective on things?
Oh, very much so. So, I mean, the ability to create a great new public service is a wonderful driver when working with government. So there's that, but then, yeah, it's around changing the mindsets of people, showing them what's possible. So just because you've always done it that way doesn't mean you should continue to do it that way. So it's about showing the driver the will to change and the need to change. And that's part of the job, really, as well as actually making the change happen or implementing the technology. So, yeah.
And it sounds to me as well, and I always kind of asked this, you know, about the, you know, I'm very much someone who drives and is driven from the vision and the end goal and the outcomes. And people who work within technology, I think are always kind of that way inclined to a certain extent. But a lot of the time, you know, the people who are, you know, well involved in technology are compelled by just technology itself, not always necessarily about the outcomes. They're just, it's just the widget. It's just the thing that, you know, that's interesting to them. You know, me, it's outcomes driven, and that helps me kind of have clarity of thought and direction on things when I'm always considering, you know, the end goal or the vision, right? I can feel that you're kind of that way inclined also, you know, and I'm sure technology kind of serves a purpose for you. Yeah, is that something that, you know, has always kind of been true and fundamentally part of, I suppose, what keeps you ticking over is always outcomes. And if it wasn't digital that you're kind of working on, it might have been something else that could help outcomes, and that's what you would gravitate towards?
Yeah, I'd say so. So I've always enjoyed change, and I enjoy working with clients to make their change happen. So for me, this is the most interesting spot to work on because I get to get around lots of different organisations, but lots of different people, listen to lots of viewpoints, see under the hood of lots of different organisations. So when you get that rounded view from many different areas, using many different technologies and meeting many different people, it just makes you better and better on the advice that you can give to clients in the future, really.
And you must enjoy that kind of that interaction as well. That you know, the project kind of based work, it must be, you know, relatively compelling as well.
Yeah, very much so. And for me now, so no organisation should have a business strategy and a digital strategy. They are the same thing. So it's I enjoy educating clients. I really enjoy learning from them, I'm putting these two together to make one driving strategy for the business. Is very fun. When my career started, I worked on various different IT help desks. I was a desktop engineer and a network engineer back in the days where IT was just seen as a cost center for an organization. Kind of those days where you're in the doldrums in the basement. Now that technology is advanced so much, every organization should have a technology focused digital person with a seat at the table at the board. My personal opinion is that they shouldn't be reporting into any finance directors or anything like that, because they are the key revenue generator for the organisation. You still need every other area of the organisation, obviously, but these are the guys that can put it together to make it happen.
Yeah, it's true. And what's interesting, I think, at the moment is what's kind of expected now from technical and digital literate people. It seems to be so much more, and that's been a relatively new thing, where we expect so much now. We don't just expect technical people to be able to do the technical work now. They're also expected to have, you know, a really good fundamental understanding of business goals and business outcomes, and how do you align, you know, what we're doing digitally with, any fiscal goals. It really is, you know, a hybrid model that the technical person is sort of being transformed into.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, a lot of people say that everybody should learn to code. Personally, I think that's simply not true. Technology is advancing so quickly that I can build a website now without building a line of code. I can build a piece of software without writing a line of code. Anybody in a senior manager or leadership position should understand the power of the internet. You can't be a great politician unless you understand social media. You can't be a great policeman or person of the law unless you understand software, because that's the way in which crimes are being committed at the moment. So the technology element goes across anybody's role, really. And because of that reason, technology experts are being pulled into every area of every business.
Yeah, it's true, and it's sort of, I suppose, it's evolving, isn't it? You know, the job space at the moment quite rapidly, You know, technologies, you know, I think, you know, maybe you have a different perspective on this. Maybe I talk to too many people who are far too technical, but they, you know, are all kind of under the perception that, you know, the way in which we work, the job market, it really is on the brink of change at the moment because of technology and, you know, it's going to eliminate roles. It's going to force us to adapt. I don't think that's ever not been the case. I think we've always had to adapt and change, you know, our work. But I think potentially now it's happening at an increased rate. And I just wonder, like, you know, from your perspective as well, whether you think that is probably overblown and overhyped, like just how quickly, you know, people are going to see the change. Like you say, you don't think that everyone needs to code. I do agree with you as well. I think that there's going to be the kind of the architects who are laying down those foundations so that the rest of us can just make things quickly. But that doesn't mean that we all have to be the architects. But I just wonder your kind of take on that.
Yeah, so there's lots of talk about robotics and AI taking over the world, taking over jobs and things like that. Personally, for me, I think we need to implement universal basic income before the autonomous technology is at that stage. Yes, without doubt, AI technology will make thousands, millions, billions of jobs across the world obsolete. That certainly will happen. But at exactly the same time, it's going to create thousands and millions and billions of jobs in the technology sector. So I think as long as the change is managed well, and as I said, universal basic income is a key element of that, and people are reskilled, then bring on the change. I fully welcome it myself, and I don't think it's actually anything that this world can stop, because the race for AI is on. Every country, every government, every advanced organization is piling billions of dollars into this, and someone will win the race, and that nobody's going to stop evolving it. So we just need to find a way of managing it.
Yeah, I actually, you know, massively agree with it, and I think that you can't stand still. You know, I think as soon as an individual or an organization or a country, you know, stands still, you become obsolete, right? So it's either kind of keep up or just kind of watch everyone go by. So as you say, it's coming whether we like it or not. And it's not the first time, you know, we've ever seen anything like this. You know, the Industrial Revolution happened, you know, and that changed everything. So it's exciting, I think, as much as anything. And certainly someone such as yourself, you know, who's going to be involved so much in, you know, and be such a great assistance in these kind of digital transformations, I'm sure it's going to be a good space for you to be in anyway.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, at NotBinary, we're certainly looking towards AI and really just automation as a whole in the workplace. There are some great products starting to emerge at the moment. Not that much that's in full production at the moment, but it's certainly a place that we're looking to gain knowledge in so that we can help our clients in that area in the future. As again, that will, just like digital did, affect every organization in the world.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, you obviously excited about AI and, you know, I suppose anything that's going to advance us. But, you know, outside of that, you know, I look at kind of data as well and such, and I can imagine, like, the opportunities for the businesses that aren't quite digital yet, and some of the data that they have gathered, and just the opportunity and the things that they might be able to do when they kind of digitalize and you know, really build kind of strong data teams at those kind of organizations, some of the things that, you know, they might uncover and be able to achieve with that.
Yeah, I mean, it depends who you are as an organization. The true data mining, data analytics skill sets are in high demand in the UK, so you've got to have the investment there. You're also going to need a good understanding of cloud-based technologies in order to mine and process that data to get some relevant information out of it. So they're two elements that people will need if they want to be a data-driven business just to start with. And then going from there, It's around being able to make those strategic decisions based on that data. So you've got any digital change, any data-driven change takes on an element of risk. But if you've got that data, then you're hugely mitigating your risk.
I think so. And as well as everything from an organizational standpoint as well, is, you know, technology something for you personally that you've always kind of been interested in, something that you've always kind of messed with, something that you've enjoyed, kind of thinking about and such. And I suppose, if so, what is it that I suppose you're most compelled about, you know, whether it's, makes business practical sense or just from kind of a wow perspective?
So to be honest, there's something called IFTTT, if this then that commands. And I personally think a lot of organizations don't need to do full-blown AI automation transformation. They could really harness that, as a lot of this change is going to start with low-level admin, and there's a high number of savings that can be made there. So I would start with that for most organizations, take a good review. That go from there, basically.
Yeah, I think so. I it'll certainly be compelling, and I think that it's literally within 5 years, I think, where we might see, you know, the most advancement of all time. I literally think that's how kind of close we are to seeing these, like, fully automated, organizations. So I'm certainly excited about it and interested to see what's going to happen. And I'll certainly look to you for advice on what to expect.
Yeah, I mean, we're always going to need that human element. No digital transformation can be done without great human investment. But just like no autonomous automation could be done either. But we are certainly looking towards a future where, an ever growing amount of work in the workplace is automated, which personally I think is a very positive thing.
I agree. Well, thank you so much, David, for taking the time, mate. We'll leave there, conscious of time. So all I can say is, just best of luck with Not Binary. I think it's going to be, have amazing success. And, all I can do is wish you the best of luck. And hopefully we can chat again soon or, grab a beer at some point.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud. Or check out the website, venturi-group.com. And keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.